Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
I got a friend who, he's on a furlough week. He texted me, he said he's been power washing since yesterday. Power washing his cars, power washing his driveway, power washing his gutters, anything, everything. Probably power washing his kids. You can tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT. Tell me what you've been doing that you wouldn't otherwise be doing during this time of social distancing or physical distancing. Like we talked to Lindsay Schnell of USA Today. She's out headed to an oyster farm today to do a story. One of the big stories that has transpired here in the last month or so is Justin Herbert becoming an NFL player. A lot of Oregon fans tuned into that. I love that he went to the Chargers. I think it's a good fit for him. But I don't cover the Chargers. I don't know the ins and outs of that franchise. So I wanted to get the expert, the guy who does. Daniel Popper of The Athletic does a terrific job covering the Los Angeles Chargers, and he's joining us now. How are you, Daniel?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
The reaction by Chargers fans with Justin Herbert, they excited or encouraged by this pick?
Yeah, I think initially there was some doubt. There was some hesitancy. I think the turning point was when a photo surfaced of Justin wearing a Chargers shirt growing up in Eugene, and fans realized that he was a Chargers fan as a youngster, and then they started to warm up to him. But ultimately, I think the fan base is excited. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. They're moving on from Phillip Rivers, obviously, who was with the franchise for 16 years, a starter for 14 years. And then, you know, moving into a new stadium, I think the fan base, they're ready for a new face of the franchise. They're ready for a new style of play. They're ready for some excitement. They're ready for some youth. And Justin Herbert certainly provides that. And I think fans have also started to come around when they realize that the offense is going to change very significantly moving forward in 2020. There's going to be a lot more quarterback movement, a lot more play action, RPO, zone read. You know, a lot of the exciting stuff that the best offenses in football and the NFL are doing right now. You know, you look at the Ravens, what they do on offense in terms of the RPO and the quarterback running. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is a unique talent, but that's the kind of stuff you're going to see with the Chargers this coming season. Anthony Lynn, that's the stuff he likes to do. He worked with Greg Roman, the Ravens offensive coordinator in Buffalo in 2015 and 2016, so there's some familiarity there. It's going to be an exciting brand of offense for sure, and Justin Herbert fits sort of exactly what they're looking to do, which is why they ultimately made this pick.
I looked at the roster and I said right away, all right, this is a team that made the playoffs two seasons ago. They've got a coach who I think knows what he's doing. They've got some receivers. They got a tight end. And also, I like the fact that Tyrod Taylor is there. It means Herbert doesn't have to play right away. Am I reading all of that right?
Yeah, I'm in 100% agreement with you. I don't think there's a better situation for Justin Herbert to have ended up in. He has the luxury to sit the entire season if he wants to, and I imagine that it's going to be pretty close to that. I would expect Tyrod Taylor to play about 12 games this year, start 12 games, you know, barring injury or, you know, a calamity of a season. And that's a great luxury to have as a rookie quarterback, to not be forced on the field immediately. And then you talk about the talent around him. You know, with Derwin James got hurt in training camp, he suffered a stress fracture in his foot, and that was the big injury with his team. You know, that and Russell Okung, the left tackle, going down. He had a pulmonary embolism. But, you know, if Derwin James doesn't get injured, this is a completely different season for them. And the defense is absolutely loaded, especially after they moved back in the first round and got Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma. They've been missing that playmaking, you know, sideline to sideline, run and hit linebacker, and he fits that mode really well. So you have an excellent defense. You know, if everyone stays healthy, you're talking about a top five defense in the league. And one of the best skill position groups in the league as well, between Austin Eckler and Hunter Henry and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. They drafted Joe Reed out of Virginia, who's going to be sort of a Debo Samuel-type running back, wide receiver, hybrid player. You got all the weapons there, and you don't have to, and you're not forcing the field immediately if you're Justin Herbert. It's an ideal situation. I think you're reading it exactly correctly.
Tyrod Taylor, is he being told, hey, you're the starter at this point? Is it an open competition? I have to think he's got a head start given that he's been there.
Yeah, I mean, the term they keep using is driver's seat. You know, Tyrod Taylor's in the driver's seat. You know, they want to give him a shot to start. The one thing to remember is that Anthony Lynn has a ton of respect for Tyrod Taylor. Lynn took over as offensive coordinator in that 2016 Bills season. He was the running backs coach, became the offensive coordinator, and then eventually was interim head coach before he was hired by the Chargers that ensuing offseason. So he's going to give Taylor the opportunity to start games and win games for him. He trusts him as a quarterback. He trusts his decision-making. You know, one of the pillars of Lynn's coaching philosophy is limiting turnovers, which is kind of ironic because Phillip Rivers is the exact opposite of that. He's a guy who's going to force the ball in a tough situation. Taylor has one of the best interception rates in the history of football among players with 1,000 or more passing attempts. Well, the only guy better in the history of the NFL is Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, there's a lot of things that Lynn likes about Taylor, and he's going to try and go win football games with him. And you know, the one thing that everyone in the organization keeps preaching with Herbert is patience. Patience, patience, patience. They are not going to rush this because they view him as a franchise quarterback for decades to come. And so they set up their salary cap situation in their roster where they have Taylor here under contract for 2020. They're not going to force Herbert onto the field. And a lot of that is the trust that Anthony Lynn has in Tyrod Taylor.
Daniel Popper of The Athletic is our guest. He covers the Chargers. I encourage you to follow him on Twitter as well. I've tweeted out his handle. Daniel, the Chargers in the market in L.A., give us an idea of how much buzz is around them, because the perception is, all right, they're from San Diego. How much pressure could be on Justin Herbert?
It's a work in progress. Like, there is a lot on the shoulders of the marketing team, of the PR staff, to try and figure out how to grow the fan base. You know, they, in no uncertain terms, they burned the bridge with San Diego. There are a lot of people in that city who will never root for the Chargers and, in fact, will actively root against them. Now, there is a facet of the fan base that will continue to root for them because they root for the players and not for ownership. But it's a tall task. It's an uphill climb to build a fan base here because there are so many other teams that people care about, not to mention the other things to do in Los Angeles between the music and going to the beach and shows and all that kind of stuff, you know? And so people aren't really that into the sports teams unless you're good, you know? The Lakers have to be winning. If the Lakers are winning, people are into it. If the Dodgers are winning, people are into it. But if you're not winning, people are going to go do something else. So that's where it starts. And what they're going to target is, you know, they're trying to target young fans. They're trying to bring in kids because those are the people they can target. They, you know, the people in their mid-20s or in their 30s who've been rooting for other teams for their entire lives because there wasn't football in Los Angeles, they're not going to just change allegiance just because you appear in Los Angeles. You show up and be like, oh, we're here. Well, you know, the person that's been rooting for the Raiders for 30 years is not going to become a Chargers fan. So you have to find other fans to bring into the mix. And those are the young fans. And that's why you have to find a young, exciting face of the franchise. And between Derwin James on defense and now Herbert on offense, you have two young guys who are going to be active in the community, who are going to be able to relate to young kids. And that's sort of the whole, you know, plan, blueprint behind building this fan base. But it's a tall task. But, you know, as you know, Justin Herbert, he's got a very engaging personality, and I think he's going to do a great job as far as, you know, getting out there in the community, and then the Chargers are going to give him the avenues to go make that happen and sort of build this thing from the ground up.
The Duck fans who watch Justin Herbert know he wasn't working with a lot of wide receivers, and then also the criticism of his leadership. I mean, I think his teammates would tell you there's no issue there. But, yeah, he's not a big rah-rah guy. How is he presented to the media? Have you done video calls with him? How are they making him available to you?
Yeah, so we've done Zoom calls with him. And, you know, you go through the draft process as a reporter, and you don't get a ton of access to these guys. You basically – you know, you talk to him at the combine, and then obviously this year has been different because, you know, the pandemic started and there was shelter in place. We've even got less access to him. So you sort of rely on these, you know, some of these draft experts around, and, you know, these common narratives sort of surface, like, okay, he doesn't have the leadership skills. And then he hops on a Zoom call with you, and you're asking him questions, and he tells a story about how, you know, he was in a pre-draft meeting with the Chargers offensive coordinator Shane Steichen and a senior offensive assistant Rip Shear, and he got one formation wrong. That was the only thing he got wrong in the entire meeting, in the entire quiz, which is like an hour-long meeting. The only thing he got wrong. And he's talking on a Zoom call about how he's drafted by the Chargers, and he still remembers that moment. He's like, I can't believe I got that question wrong. It still eats at me. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, a guy like that, talking like that, how can you question that guy's leadership? He demands perfection from himself. And that, you know, NFL players will gravitate towards that. You don't need to be the loudest guy in the room. But if you demand perfection from yourself and you work as hard as Justin Herbert does and you have the work ethic that he has and that we've discovered now over the last couple of weeks talking to him a couple of times, he's going to be a fantastic leader in this league. I don't think there's any question there's a problem with it. And my biggest takeaway off the first Zoom call was, like, all that stuff about his leadership skills, it's BS. Maybe it's smoke screens from teams later in the first round that we're hoping he fell. But to me, there's just no merit to it whatsoever.
I think he's in such a better position than had the Bengals or the Dolphins ended up with him. We're talking to Daniel Popper of The Athletic. He covers the Los Angeles Chargers. Pep Hamilton, you had that news, and the Chargers are bringing him in. He's going to be quarterback coach. Was he brought in for Justin Herbert? Was he brought in for Tyrod Taylor? Is he brought in just because the Chargers like him?
I think it's a combination. I think they're bringing him in for Herbert, but Anthony Lynn said last week that, you know, this is a guy that he's had on his radar for a while. He referenced when he was the running backs coach with the Jets in, like, the mid-2000s. The Jets had brought Pep in to interview for the offensive coordinator job, and he ended up taking the Colts offensive coordinator job instead. And Lynn said since that point he's wanted to work with Pep Hamilton. They saw, you know, after the XFL folded that he was going to be available, and they went out and got him. The interesting thing was I asked general manager Tom Telesco at the combine, like, hey, are you guys going to bring in a quarterback coach? Because, like, you're probably going to draft a quarterback, and right now you have no, like, official quarterback coach on your coaching staff. And he was like, no, we're good with what we have. You know, Rip Shear, who I mentioned earlier, he's a senior offensive assistant. He's been a quarterback's coach before. Shane Steichen was the quarterback's coach prior to that. So he's like, no. And, like, you know, unequivocally, no, we're not hiring one. And then they go and hire one, Pep Hamilton. So to me, I'm like, okay, that was a smokescreen. They always knew that they were going to try and target a quarterback's coach after they drafted Herbert to have a guy that could work with him one-on-one and groom him along. And a guy in Pep Hamilton who, you know, worked with Andrew Luck early on in his career, you're talking about similar body types between the two quarterbacks, similar skill sets in terms of their ability to run and the powerful arms. And Pep obviously did a lot with Luck early on in his career to sort of groom him along and has gotten a lot of credit for sort of, you know, starting slow with Luck and you know, slowly opening up the offense for him, which is something they would hope to do with Herbert as well. So it seemed like a perfect fit and, you know, a guy they liked and a guy that I felt like could help Herbert individually develop.
Coronavirus has got a lot of us working from home. I don't know how you're working, but I'm doing this radio show from the home studio. Justin Herbert, how much of a disadvantage is it for a young guy to maybe not get reps right now or not get a mini camp or be able to come to the training facility?
So typically it would be a huge detriment, but Herbert already moved to Costa Mesa. He's living in the same town as the facility. He drove from Eugene and moved to Costa Mesa a couple of weeks ago. He said he encountered a semi-truck accident while driving south, so it took him like a little bit longer. It took him 15 hours instead of like 12 hours. But he's down right, like living right next to the facility, and all the receivers are in the area. So Hunter Henry has already reached out. Keenan Allen has already reached out. And he's planning to throw with both of them. And then he's down in Costa Mesa working with his quarterback's coach, his individual quarterback's coach. And so he's going to be on the field with some of these guys very soon. If it hasn't already happened, it'll happen in the next couple of weeks. And like, that's another example of like, okay, maybe he isn't a rah-rah guy, but he packed up his car and in the middle of a pandemic moved up, you know, however long it is down the coast to, you know, 15 hours down the coast to Costa Mesa so he could be near the facility, so he could be near his receivers, so he could start working out with guys. Like, that is leading by example. And so, typically it would be bad, but, you know, he's put himself in a position now to get reps and you know, start to develop that chemistry with some of these weapons he has on offense.
There's no wrong answer to this question, but what do you think is going to happen with the start of the season? Will we have an NFL season on time?
Yeah, so my gut says that the NFL is going to do everything in their power to start the season on time. I think as a league and as a brand, they want to be sort of the league that, you know, didn't have to halt operations. And so with that in mind, I think it's more likely that they start the season on time in empty stadiums as opposed to pushing the season back, maybe starting in October or November. I think you sort of have a blueprint developing in Korea with the KBO. They started to play you know, games in empty stadiums. You see guys wearing masks. But it's all going to be – it's all going to depend on how much testing you can do. You know, that's really the key in this whole thing, not just in sports, the whole pandemic. Like, what is your capacity for testing? If you can test everyone, then you can figure out where the virus is. And, that, you know, that you can look at that on a global scale, or you can look at it for the leagues. If they can get the testing they need, then they can, you know, figure out, you know, who's infected, who isn't, and move from there. But I think, you know, if I put on the spot, I'd have to say they start the season on time in empty stadiums. That would be my guess.
What's the feel in Southern California? Because, you know, people here in Oregon, I think, were pretty locked down. And then the governor came out and said, we're going to reopen some things on May 15th. And immediately the masks came off and people were out in stores and in parks. And it was like, hold on, man, we don't have a vaccine yet. But what are the optics right now as you move around Southern California?
Yeah, so I think the first couple of months, people really bought into the shelter in place. You know, I certainly didn't. The people I knew certainly didn't. You know, we were going out maybe once a day to walk the dog, but for the most part, we were staying inside. And I, you know, now that things are starting to ease up, they're starting to sort of phase these openings in. You know, you are seeing more people. Like, I went to the beach on Saturday. The bioluminescent algae was out. It was like, you know, glow in the dark waves, which was pretty cool. And there were a lot of people on the beach, and not everyone was wearing masks. And I think that's going to be the case, you know, across the country. People are going to be like, okay, it's open again. And then there's going to be a mad rush to go do everything that you haven't been able to do for the last couple of months. And that's the concern. It's like, if everyone starts doing that, then, you know, you might get a second wave of the virus. You know, so you just, you know, the one thing I can say is just be smart and make smart decisions and stay home whenever you can. That's really the main message.
Chargers, if the season happens on time, is this a playoff team as it is?
Oh,
it's hard.
That's tough.
It's tough.
I don't think so. I don't believe that Tyrod Taylor can make, you know, the plays necessary. He has certain limitations, and I think they're going to be content with sort of, you know, keeping Taylor in there. And as long as they can go, you know, sort of 8-8, 9-7, show some improvement, they're really going to target 2021 as that year to you know, slide Herbert in there and really give it a go. They could make the playoffs, though. You know, if put on the spot, I'm saying no, but the defense could be like the best defense in the league. It certainly could be that. And if that's the case, then they obviously have a shot. If your defense is good enough, then you can make the playoffs, regardless of what your offense
yeah.
is like.
Just spitballing, but if Justin Herbert's starting a game, like, let's say, week 8 or week 11 of the season, would you think it would be more likely that he's starting because he's ready, or he's starting because Tyrod Taylor got hurt?
Yeah, it's only going to be when he's ready. They are not going to put him on the field before he's ready. So whenever that is, if it's week 4, if it's week 8, if it's week 12, the only reason he's on the field is because he's ready. But if Tyrod Taylor's winning games, like if they're above 500, I don't think there's any chance that Herbert plays, because like I said before, Lynn wants to give Tyrod Taylor that shot. He's bounced around and never really had like a true opportunity with the head coach who believes in him. And that's sort of what this is for him. You know, and if he's winning games, you know, you can't take the guy off the field. And so, you know, it's all going to depend on that. There's so many factors. You know, how is Herbert looking on the practice field? You know, how much time does he get on the field this summer? You know, how well does he know the offense? You know, no one knows at this point if there's going to be training camp. And so, like, they didn't plan for a pandemic, but they set themselves up basically as well as you could for the situation by having Taylor on the roster. But, you know, it's only going to be when Herbert's ready. So the one main theme of Herbert this, you know, in the next 6 or 7 months is going to be patience. So you won't see him on the field until he's ready.
That schedule release, as the NFL did it, what'd you think of what the Chargers did in releasing the schedule?
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I know their social media people. They're brilliant, honestly, at what they do. And, you know, my girlfriend is a nurse. She works in the pediatric ICU at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. So it was something that resonated with me personally. And, you know, it's kind of funny because they sort of branded their social media as like this goofy kind of, you know, a lot of memes and jokes. And so you wouldn't expect their social media team to come through with something so sentimental and powerful. So I respect it, and it is something that hit home for me personally, just because my girlfriend is, you know, facing this stuff every day when she goes to work.
Scary stuff, and you know, give her a high five for us for the work she's doing. But I thought the same thing. I thought Chargers were really smart. And for you know, listeners who don't know, the Chargers sort of pieced it together with social media posts and had fans, especially those on the front line, helping release the schedule. It was a nice tribute. Daniel, thank you for what you do. We'll bring you back on. Love to talk to you closer to the season.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. There's Daniel Popper of The Athletic. The Chargers may be the 11th most important thing going on in Southern California, but that's a nice position for Justin Herbert to be in, being the new guy on a team that's just trying to prove itself. Yeah, that's a nice place to be. Punch It Audio is coming up. Plus, later in the program, the Winterhawks declaring bankruptcy. Is that franchise going away, or are they about to be saved from out of left field? Leave it here. Really good stuff about the Chargers. I don't know if you're a Chargers fan, but I certainly think people in this region of the country are going to pay attention to the Chargers. Same way we paid attention to the Tennessee Titans because Marcus Mariota went there. I'm curious to see what happens with Justin Herbert. By the way, the Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers will play twice this next season, of course. And be curious to see if the later season game coming in, I think it is week 11 or 12, could feature Marcus Mariota at quarterback for the Raiders. I don't know about Herbert. I think Daniel Popper's probably right that the Chargers want him to be ready, but I wonder at what point. It's a sliding scale, right? And if Tyrod Taylor does get hurt, I think if Justin Herbert is, you know, if he has an adequate knowledge of the offense, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Chargers put him in there, see if he's ready. I think ultimately, though, he is a long-term project in Los Angeles, and I'm just so proud of myself for not calling him the San Diego Chargers at any point of that interview. I watched the video that the Chargers put out when the schedule release went out last week. A lot of NFL teams just put out the schedule. I heard it suggested that maybe what the NFL should have done is do like a telethon and announce 1 week per hour. Go 16 or 18 hours on the telethon and just say, in week one, here are all the games. And they talk through it for an hour. I think people would have watched it given the ratings for the WNBA draft and the NFL draft. I think people would have watched a schedule release that dragged out over 16 hours like that. But the Chargers did something cool. They got, sort of an ER nurse. They got hospital workers. They got a waste management worker. They got a clerk, and they got, you know, they sent letters to these individuals and had them kind of release the schedule week by week. But they also gave each of those people $1,000 towards their grocery bill, and they put it together on a video that has now been watched 250,000 times by Charger fans and people who are just curious. But it was a great use of social media and a great way to connect, not just with Charger fans, but to connect with fans in general who might be looking for a new team. Like, I kind of think like the Chargers are, even though they are the San Diego Chargers, moved to Los Angeles, they've got kind of a expansion feel to them with the new uniforms and the new quarterback coming in. And there's just there's a new stadium. There's kind of a newness to the Chargers that really hasn't been there in some time. We'll play Punch It Audio coming up in just a few minutes on the other side of the break. We do have a little bit of news on the Winterhawks front. For those of you who are following the plight of the Portland Winterhawks, this is a extremely successful minor league hockey team that has been a raging success story in the Portland metropolitan area. They're in some trouble. It looks like they're headed for bankruptcy, but maybe they aren't. We'll get you an update on that coming up in just a few minutes, if you care about that. Also, the 2 at 2 is coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, plus much more ahead. And we also need to figure out what the heck we're going to do for Alabama Adriana. She was out over the weekend taking her graduation pictures. She has graduated. We were going to throw a big graduation party and invite listeners. Adriana, we got to do something. We got to do something to kind of honor your graduation. We'll have to brainstorm on this.
Yeah, for sure.
You're up for it?
Yeah.
You're up for a party in your honor that might have to be a virtual party?
I mean, we just have to do what we have to do.
Maybe it'll be 16.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.